KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me is...
Caleb.
And...
Jason.
That's right. We're here to rock your world with some geek stuff. So, gentlemen, how have you been? How was your holiday?
Holiday was good. I did the usual family thing. Was a little bit... One thing we did different this year that we hadn't in the past was we tried to do fireworks... kind of locally, since the big shows were not anywhere near us.
Oh, okay.
And there's only, like, we did a check of, like, what's going on the Bay Area, and that was, like, only two things happening that were, like, in Oakland, San Francisco, and then down in San Jose. It's like, well, not really the great best for where we were going to be located for doing the meal time. But anyways, one of the cities nearby us does, like, the, you know, they allow, like, safe and sane fireworks at specific locations, like in the one that was a school parking lot, so we were hanging out there, and it was actually not too bad at first, but then someone let off a rather large one that had a concussive
firework
firework. Yes, okay. That yes, a firework that launched a piece of itself between, like, right between us.
Oh,
like,
wow.
And right next to the 1 year old.
Whoa.
And it had enough concussive force that I could feel it in my chest from a good 30-40 feet away. So I'm like, and so after that we're like, yeah, we're done for now. And so we packed up and left for home after that.
Wow.
But other than that, it was actually very fun. And even leading up to that point, it was actually a lot. It was actually pretty enjoyable. Just when someone was being that lacking that much in critical thinking skills, we decided that it'd be safer to remove all safety, remove ourselves from the situation.
Right. The safe and sane fireworks only work if you have a safe and sane person at the helm of said fireworks.
And if
makes
they
sense.
And if they're actually using the safe and sane ones as opposed to ones they've procured from elsewhere and then have brought in going, well, they let fireworks here, they'll never know it was someone that wasn't doing something. It's like, no, not a good idea.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
Folks, respect explosives. That's all I gotta say about that.
At least around 1 year olds.
Yes.
Very true.
Otherwise, let them go.
Let them rip. Fireworks.
Yes.
Hey, whatever.
So how about you, Jason?
I had a pretty laid back 4th. I pretty much just stocked up on some good beer and played some good video games. I'd actually heard kind of similar to the problem that you were talking about, that practically all the shows in the area were canceled for various reasons. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, I guess I won't go see any fireworks or anything. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a very un-4th-ish 4th of July, but I got a lot of Call of Duty in, which is very American in another sort of way, I suppose. So.
Yeah, true. Which we'll be discussing later in the game discussion portion of the show.
Exactly.
How about you, Joe? Did you do anything fun, fascinating, or otherwise exciting?
No, not really. I can't even really remember if I did what I did. I don't even think
so.
I
you had the beer too,
anything.
Is what I'm saying.
No, yeah, I didn't really do anything worth mentioning. Otherwise, I would remember.
Mm-hmm.
So then, yeah, I heard fireworks going off around me, but, you know, yeah. Neighbors firing off stuff here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, ladies and gentlemen, we are proving our geek cred.
Yeah. Exciting all around. It started off somewhat exciting and then right. Just went downhill from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny, like you mentioned that, I'd actually heard a fair number of similar stories to that in the break room at work. Then people were lighting off fireworks and they were going into crowds of other people and everybody was scattering. And so, yeah, it sounded like a raucous 4th of July yeah. For having no fireworks, per se. So.
Yep. Never underestimate the power of silly people in large groups, something like that.
I don't know. You go.
True. Yeah, so. I mean, at least we got to hang out over the weekend
yeah.
For a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We all did. That was fun.
Send off Jen again.
Mm.
Yeah. Which we could have done for the third time tonight if she had bothered to show up.
But she's packing, so.
Yeah, packing. You gotta get that packing in. Nah, I kid. But, you know. Anyway, so yeah, that was fun. We watched Birdemic.
Oh, man.
That was some good times.
That is an epically bad movie.
Yeah, I feel bad that it took us so long to see it, but at the same time, it was worth the wait. Because, I mean, as much worth the wait as that could be. I mean, we had the help of the fine people at Riff Trax. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that would definitely make that movie endurable. Otherwise, wow.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you need some alcohol or something. You want to watch that without...
Without people to assist you in riffing on that film, because
yeah.
It's a very special piece of cinema history. That's all I got to say.
Hey, you know, film somewhat locally, so, you know, there you go.
Right, yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Seeing all the locations reused.
Yeah. Wow. All right. This movie was shot here. Cool.
Right. In the greater area.
Yeah. And then the other one we watched to finish off the night, Miami oh, yes. Connection.
That one was pretty good. I like that one a lot.
That one was also bad, but in a good way.
Yeah.
What? Bad? No.
Yes. Well, I do.
But it had Miami in Connections and
ninjas on motorcycles. What could possibly go wrong? I know.
It's true. It's not a combination you see very often.
Right.
No.
And taekwondo plus samurai swords.
Mm-hmm. 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 Against ninjas.
Right.
Yep.
It happens.
It was definitely a connection.
Right.
That's
why I have to visit Miami at least once. I need to see.
Where are all the ninjas? Right. Ninjas riding motorcycles.
Ninjas flock to Miami, I've heard. I've heard these things.
It's true.
Or was it old people?
Maybe both.
Ninja old people.
There you go. Maybe retired ninjas?
Retired ninjas. Yes. You heard it here, folks.
Maybe.
If you
know out there, you know, let us know.
Mm.
And, you know, obviously, if you don't know how you can do those things, we'll gladly tell you. In fact, Caleb will.
That's right. If you would like to interact with us, and we really encourage you to do so, you can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack. That's two words. And you will find our page. We have links to our stories we talk about as we move through them. And also you can comment there. We will gladly interact with you live on the air or through the text. Or you can find us on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me. It's all one phrase. And finally, there is our email address, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And that will... be the best way. That's the most assured. I don't know. They're all good ways of getting a hold of us.
Yeah.
If all that's too much to remember, robotsattack.me is our web address. Takes you to our own website. We have archive episodes of the show and links to everything else I've described above and the interact button.
Yep. So participate during the show if you can. Obviously, if you're driving,
yep.
Don't because it'd be against the law.
Yes.
Doing all that stuff, but
be safe. Be smart.
Yes. You know, it makes it fun when you're a part of it as well. Well, speaking of fun, I think we're going to have a pretty solid show tonight, hopefully. In the core, we don't really have a set topic, but I've got a bunch of random lists of things. People like lists and top things and that, and so
right, good discussion
fodder. We'll do some of those. We'll talk, and then you know, obviously, we'll reach out for your opinions and all that jazz. And in the game discussion portion of the show, which I mentioned a little bit earlier, Jason's going to be talking about the latest DLC for Black Ops 2. I didn't say Blops 2.
Thank you. Although you sort of said.
That dropped last week.
Although now they're trying to, it looks like they're trying to rebrand it almost as Boy.
Yeah. I saw them like, what's Boy DLC? He about punched me in the shoulder. I was just out of range though.
Nice. So Jason will hit that up, and then we have in
Caleb's Corner, yes, that will be talking about cool things in science, if memory serves. I had just closed that spreadsheet with all my notes in it. So,
well, we have a Caleb's
Corner.
There'll be a
Caleb's Corner. I'll tease it again before we get to it.
And of course, the news.
The news.
Before all of that, let's hit up some new releases of the week. And before I get to the new releases of films in the theater that are dropping, since it's Monday, I thought, you know what? Why don't I start doing the top five box office? Because,
you know, it's
something that you find out over the weekend, you see. Mm-hmm. So we got number one, Despicable Me 2,
whoa,
made $82.5 million.
Good on ya.
Yeah.
Followed by...
That's sort of big.
Yeah. Followed by The Lone Ranger with $29.4 million.
Ouch.
Number three was The Heat, $25
million.
Mm-hmm. Number four, Monsters University with $19.5 million, and rounding it out, number five, World War Z with $18.2 million. If you saw any of those movies, let us know what you thought in all those places that Caleb mentioned, Facebook, Twitter, all those things.
Yes.
All right, coming this Friday, we have Killing Season with Robert De Niro and John Travolta. We have this movie called Pacific Rim. Maybe it's an ocean flick. It's also in 3D, in IMAX 3D, and regular IMAX. So plenty of ways to see your ocean movie.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Pawn Shop Chronicles, some movie called Still Mine, another one called The Deep. Maybe another ocean movie. It's big ocean time. A movie called The Hunt. And a horror movie called VHS 2. And, there was one more big one. I remember right. Where were you? I think it's Grown Ups 2. That's right. Because we all wanted a sequel to that one.
What, you mean you didn't? All right. Well, if you're also looking to stock up your Blu-ray and DVD collection, maybe these will be interesting to you. Admission on Blu-ray and DVD. That one has Tina Fey in it. Attack from Beneath. I don't normally read the descriptions, but this one's just kind of awesome because this one is monsters attacking from the Atlantic Ocean and AI robots which are sent to fight them.
Whoa.
Huh. Interesting, isn't it? Huh. Then there is Boy on Blu-ray and DVD. Dead Man Down.
Spelled B-O-I-I?
No, just B-O-Y, okay, like you'd normally expect in the English language.
Okay. I thought it was a crossover or something like that. I was all excited.
That would have been interesting. Then there was, said Dead Man Down. Then Portlandia Season 3 is on Blu-ray and DVD.
Nice.
Also in the comedy section, Robot Chicken, DC Comics Special.
Huh.
Then there is Spring Breakers, drops tomorrow, Blu-ray and DVD. And The Host arrives on Blu-ray and DVD as well.
Alrighty, we got in the video game realm Guncraft, followed by Metal Gear Solid The Legacy Collection. Then we have a game called Dark. It's a stealth action game. Who would have thought?
Wow, called Dark?
Yeah. Got some DLC for Civilization V, Brave New World. Looks like NCAA Football 14, 2014, obviously. And I'll round it out with Shadow Warrior.
All right.
So, yeah, a lot of big releases this week.
Comic Dome isn't looking too bad. Justice League number 22 drops. This will be kicking off the Trinity War pan title story arc crossover event for the summer on DC, which is apparently going to cross all of the new 52 titles. Then Superman Unchained, number 2. Superior Spider-Man, number 13. Uncanny X-Men, number 8. This one is going to feature a fight between Magneto and Cyclops. From the Not Big 2 is Quantum and Woody, number 1. Is Walking Dead, number 112. My Little Pony, number 6. And Star Wars, number 7. Undercover Mission into the Empire. Should be cool.
But it's not a now.
No. Although you... I should have warned you about the two Marvel titles do fall into the game of Marvel.
Now?
Yes.
All right. Love the now. See, I'm going to shout that every time I see it at Comic-Con.
No.
I go by, now. Now. People are going to look at me weird.
Perfect.
I should also mention, too, since it's sort of video game related. Now, I'm not really familiar with this guy's work, but he was all over Twitter. And apparently a man named Ryan Davis from Giant Bomb passed away at the age of 34. Lot of people were reaching out and saying, you know, they were, you know, sad for the loss and his family. He apparently like just recently got married or something. So,
oh, wow. Huh.
I apologize. I'm not really familiar with his work, but I felt our show sort of fit. Like,
it would be weird. I've not seen to a mention. Lot about it also. So
our Robots Attack's hearts go out to his family and everyone. So just because we didn't really are familiar with his work doesn't mean we can't, you know,
we can't
give
feel
our
for
condolences
exactly
for a fellow nerd geek out there. So, if you're familiar with his work and want to reach out and tell us about it, please, please do.
Yes.
Alrighty, we're going to take a quick little music break and then come back with the news. Would you gentlemen like to tease the folks? Any news topics or?
The Art of Salt.
Ooh.
Art of Salt, interesting. The quantum computer is not quite as theoretical, or it might not be as theoretical as we thought.
Interesting. All right. Sounds good to me. All right, I'm going to play a track called Female Robbery from the band The Neighborhood from the album I Love You. And before I get to that, might as well do their PSA.
It's
about that time. You've heard it before. San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook. All right, let's get to that music break. You're listening to Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We are the one and only geek-centric talk show. Alrighty.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSU Santa Clara. We are now in the news portion of the show, and Caleb has our first story.
I do indeed. I mentioned the quantum computer. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the concept of the quantum computer, as computing exists now, we have what is known as a binary system, where it's a one or a zero. It's either there is a charge, there's not a charge, it exists or doesn't. The quantum computer idea concept is a state which can store a step between on and off. So, and the more of that you have, the more you can process things that are not
you can process more things faster. So it's like the idea of like,
okay.
So imagine like a highway.
Okay.
When a two-lane highway, there's either a car can, you can have one car going each direction, but as you add more lanes, you can have more data, more cars being pushed, go through them.
Okay.
So it's like that with the processing unit of a computer. If it's a binary one, you just have the two. You can have it going essentially one direction. You can put more highways next to each other, which is what we're doing now with adding more cores and more paths through the city. You're just stacking more freeways together as opposed to putting in more lanes on the individual freeway. Now, this is kind of a bad connection illusion because it breaks down a little bit because, you know, they essentially seem to be accomplishing the same task.
Mm.
But if like one of them is actually carrying in this analogy, all the cars are carrying one driver. Mm. There we go. It's either one driver or not one or not. So that, whereas everything that if it was a quantum style freeway, you would have all carpools, carpool cars. If that makes sense, because it can have a state that is not just a driver or not a driver. You have multiple. You have a variance of whether it's a driver or not. So that's hopefully not too crazy. But when we reach this ability to compute at this level with more multiple states besides on and off, it opens up lots of scientific possibilities. They can store more data, access more data, and process more data all at once. You can get that much more data through on a single pass of the chip, of all the data through it.
Okay.
And up until this point, the quantum computer has all been pure theory. Everyone said it might exist. At some point, someone might invent one, but no one's done it yet. A company called D-Wave claims to have made the world's first quantum computer. And Lockheed Martin and Google have both purchased one of these.
Oh, okay.
Lockheed Martin is storing theirs over at the USC campus. And the researchers at USC have been analyzing the computer to see if it actually is producing a quantum level calculation, or is it, you know, doing a really, really smart but still a binary style computing. The way they search this is a process called quantum annealing. I could go into that, but the article,
no, go into it.
The article just explains it much better than I think I have time to at the moment. this idea is that it near as they can tell, thus far it's looking very promising that this device is actually operating as a quantum computer. So it's a bit brainy science smart, but it's a really cool application for the future of computing, because you can process all of the data, the world's data, that much faster. You can do simulations that much faster. It brings us that much closer to making a computer more like the human mind or the biological mind.
Okay.
That's kind of where this is, where quantum computing will take us, is the idea. So that's the very heady first story of the of the week.
Okay. Mm. Well, we'll follow that up with something super, super simple.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Salt.
Okay.
Salt. Yeah. Well,
tasty. Yeah. And now I'm going to make it much more complicated.
Oh boy.
Oh, man.
You're going to add pepper? Woo! I'm here for till 8.
I like that band, actually. That's fine.
But it's pepper, right?
That is true. I don't want to confuse people or say it wrong or whatnot.
Exactly.
But anyway, back to the salt. Well, there's an artist who's making some really interesting things out of salt. He's making giant murals on the floors of different really architectural areas in museums. And so it's ending up creating some really interesting artwork, not just in itself, but when they're taking the photographs of this stuff later. It has these really serene-looking rooms with really dramatic-looking lighting, and with a little bit of saturation here and there, on these fields of salt, it ends up creating some really neat effects. The designs that he's doing are really intricate designs that are kind of reminiscent of, like, roots growing across the floor, or even, like, the kind of a spread of the universe through the Hubble telescope.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the entire ritual, the entire thing is based on his background with Hindu Buddhist rituals, classically to do with funerary rites and whatnot.
Okay.
Well, anyway, one of the... Actually, let's see. On June 6th at the Monterey Museum of Art, they're going to have one of his. And it looks like it's going to be pretty spectacular. So if you can check it out, I highly recommend it.
When again?
I wonder why they even posted that now.
it might be a more than one day exhibit.
Here's the thing, though. The reason why it probably isn't is that he does a really dramatic thing at the end. He lets a bunch of people come in and basically just walk through the entire thing to destroy the entire canvas. So now I'm confused, but... But anyway, apparently on June 6th, they had him there. But anyway, the photography is still up. I do believe the story is going to be published on our Facebook page in no time. So check it out. Look at the pictures. It's pretty neat stuff.
Sounds cool. Yeah, we post, in case you're unfamiliar with the show, we post all the links to our stories on our Facebook page, so you can go and check them out in your leisure. You know, if you're driving, don't get a chance. And sometimes some of the stories have videos and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and in my story, they break down quantum computing really well, better than I did. So it's nice and fast that way.
Cool, cool. Yeah, that sort of reminded me when you mentioned it. I forget what movie it was, but they showed like... I think it was like Tibetan monks, like doing art like that, like on the floor with like, I don't know if the what it was, like beads or whatever that where they were. But
it
they were...
probably what actually was salt for that one also. And there's various other American Indian rituals that are basically using colored sands. And the entire idea is sort of the same thing, that it's supposed to be there and then gone. Like, they mess it up afterwards. So there's people out there who have managed to actually get, like, frozen-in-place ones from different ways.
Oh, okay.
And it's sort of like the Amish thing, where they think it's sort of stealing the spirit of the thing. And so...
Huh.
Indians who have that tradition are not happy about them ending up with this stuff.
Interesting fact. I looked up the Monterey Art website, and apparently his installation will be at the museum until August 25th.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
So it started then. And actually, if you can get in on it on the 25th, that's probably going to be when he lets people in to destroy the entire thing. So it'd be a double whammy.
Yep. At the closing of the exhibition on the 25th offers another important participatory experience with the opportunity for visitors to participate in the dismantling of the salt artwork, according to their website.
Yeah, and literally the dismantling, they have pictures of some of the other ones that they've done. It's people just running around, like, kicking salt all over the place. It looks like a blast.
So maybe, like, if you can go at some point, see it all before it gets destroyed, and then go just participate in the destroying of it or something. But
sounds like fun.
Speaking of fun, you're listening to Robots Attack on KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We are the one and only geek-centric talk show. We are in the news, and I'm going to bring you this story from salt to a snap-and-sniff camera.
You said snap and sniff, correct? Not scratch and sniff.
Huh.
Correct.
Okay. Very good. Break the camera in half?
Well, this
like
camera...
Like Hulk style?
This camera... I believe it's a Madeline camera. I'm not sure exactly if that's how they say it. But anyway, it captures scent, not light.
Interesting.
Huh.
The story I grabbed from NBC News. It's a snap to recall the face of a loved one in your mind's eye, but powerful memories like those of mom's cookies or the beach of your youth are best conjured only by happenstance when a passing smell sends you down memory lane. It's very true. Sometimes you'll smell mm-hmm. something that it'll remind you of, or even with like a sound, you'll hear something. Or you know,
yeah.
Artist Amy Radcliffe has conceived of a more reliable approach, a device to capture smells and a service to replicate them. Radcliffe explained in an email to NBC News that we can take pictures and video of everything to be shared and stored online, but those are limited to sight and sound. Quote, so I started looking at our other senses and thinking how we might preserve the memory of these, and I just happened to find smell memory extremely interesting. It's so powerful and can seem to bypass all consciousness to trigger an emotional reaction, hence her creation of the Madeline camera, named after the little tea cakes in Marceau, French stuff. Remembrance of things past. I know someone listening out there is probably going, oh, you idiot. The smell of which was so evocative to the narrator of his past that it prompted a dive into his life story. As with photography of yore, the Madeline works using some elementary chemistry. You place the bell over the object or area to be recorded, and the air inside is passed over a reactive chemical that captures the volatiles, the bits of material and floating particles that make up every smell. The olfactory components might then be reproduced in a lab, says Radcliffe. 24 parts apple skin, 2 parts chalk dust, 4 parts graphite, 11 parts old wood for a classroom, perhaps. The resulting scent would be returned to the customer like a print. Like the French dude's infamously long series, the Madeline takes its sweet time. After all, it's only the strongest and most pungent scents that are collected in a single whiff, and we don't always want to recreate those.
Yeah.
yeah. Look at that fart from 2 years ago. Oh, man, brings back the memories. No, Radcliffe says it can take a few minutes to capture the smell of some freshly cut grass, or up to an hour to collect all the tiny particles that define the nearly unplaceable odor that you associate with your old room or a favorite spot in the forest. So, yeah, I'll have the rest of the story on our Facebook page. It has pictures and stuff of the device and everything. But, yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. Like, see if it, you know, how it actually works. And
yeah, you know, that is,
if it would conjure
cool.
up memories or.
Well, I'm going to follow up that one.
Okay.
Because my story uniquely fits with it.
Nice.
Okay. Men.
Okay.
In general.
Yeah.
They have an issue that we don't like talking about, but I'm going to bring it up because I'm one of the weird people who thinks it's absolutely disgusting and gets, like, weirded out every time I see it.
But we're not supposed to talk about it.
I'm going to.
Okay.
This is important stuff.
Very good.
Well, men have a tendency not to wash their hands after using the restroom.
Ew.
Yeah. And, like I said, the shivers are going down my spine right now. Just because I have to handle the door after they go through the door to leave the restroom. But maybe I'm just germaphobe in that way. I'm not really in a lot of other ways, but that's one of my big ones. Well, anyway, somebody came up with something that might be the best idea ever for solving this problem, or just completely and totally weird.
you both. Be the judge.
Yeah. A designer named Caspers Jersons created the first combination urinal sink.
Okay.
Now, I had to actually hunt down his page to find out exactly how this thing is designed, because I was really confused at first, too. And it's literally just a fairly good-sized urinal with a little sink compartment up above on the top.
Okay.
So it's like a mini sink on the top of the urinal.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think it has potential. And the idea is obviously, well, if it's right there and you just got done with stuff, maybe you'll do it. But my theory is that men in their rebellion will be like, what? they're trying to force this on me? No.
It's a possibility.
You're not the best me.
But yeah, no. I would be curious to see how well that would work out. And if anything that can encourage them to actually follow through on all the signs that say, please wash your hands before leaving would be kind of awesome.
Yeah. The writer at Gizmodo who posted the story initially and gave me this idea of hunting down all this stuff, which may or may not have been links that he just put on his article, but he basically believes that this is absolutely the most disgusting thing ever created and will end horribly with people probably using the sink for inappropriate things.
Yeah, I find that possibility a lot stronger than it actually working out in our favor, unfortunately.
The thing is, the sink is very high in comparison, and the design is very inviting. I feel like using this just looking at the picture. So by that right, this guy is a master designer, because I feel like using a urinal right now, even though I do not need to use one.
All right. Well, there you go then.
That is impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought so.
So from the urinal to the Cold War, I have no good transition for that.
Things that stink?
Okay, things that, let's go with that. Or how about the...
not washing hands to Cold War, things that people don't like.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Interesting thing is that the
You like the Cold War?
No, I don't like, like the Cold War. But the results of the Cold War and the nuclear testing that was done during that period of time from the 1940s to 1960s.
Right.
It may have... some
please mutants
no, not quite mutants, but in recent days they may actually have a benefit to police and researchers right now, as
mutants
they have found that they can trace the radioactive particles in the tusks and teeth of poached animals, so they can actually determine where they came from, how old they were, and if they were exposed to the kinds of materials that would have been around that time. So I was like, huh.
Okay.
Well, nuclear war is bad, and unsanctioned nuclear testing is also not a very good idea. The fact that science has found a way to turn this really bad, this overwhelmingly negative thing into a, well, that was really bad, but we can do something positive with it, that's sort of awesome.
Yeah.
So
and thankfully, we were doing, well, not us, just us, but a lot of people were doing their nuclear testing close to where all the animals are. So
yeah, well, there's that too. The identification of it and the accuracy of this test is really good. It's like it can get it down to within, I think, a month or so of the event. So it's pretty impressive. Okay. Near as I can tell from the article, it's a similar process to radiocarbon dating, which we use to date ancient things in the Earth and stuff like that. So it's the same basic principles. Like we know what the half-life of this element is and elements around it. So if we see these patterns, we can tell how recently this thing was removed from the animal.
Mm.
And I thought it was just really interesting. It's like, whoa, way to positively spin.
Good on you.
Yeah, good on you, science. You done it again. Science!
Okay, I'm going to give you guys the option.
Okay.
Do you want a story regarding Call of Duty ghosts or a story about a driver?
I'm going to go ghosts.
Ghosts.
Okay. All right, Call of Duty Ghosts is supposedly going to get some second screen multiplayer features.
What? Seems to be kind of the rage right now.
Huh. Yeah. Apparently, executive producer Mark Rubin has confirmed second screen support will add key multiplayer features to Call of Duty Ghosts. The additional functionality is being built by Activision's sister team, Beachhead Studio. And while Rubin did not discuss specifics, he did confirm the development team is wary of keeping the playing field level to avoid giving those who can afford a second screen device an unfair advantage on the battlefield.
Oh, right.
quote, "We actually have a whole department, a whole studio, basically wrapped around the idea of second screen. Our beachhead group is doing a lot of work there, but a lot of it ties into multiplayer, and I can't talk too much about it now." It's a big shocker.
What?
Yeah, I was wondering how they were going to use that studio in coming.
Yeah. Yeah, installments. So they grabbed a bunch of different studios. Okay, you work on this. While Activision's Elite platform originally launched as a paid service before later becoming free, Rubin confirmed that Call of Duty players will not need to pay for an application to integrate their mobile experience with their home console, nor will it be monetized, though exact details weren't revealed. Quote, "It's free, and this is where you have to be smart on your design. You can't make it required, and it can't confer a massive advantage. There's some balancing that needs to be done. You don't want it so the guy with an iPad has an advantage over other players in multiplayer just because he has the money to buy an iPad. Mm-hmm. But it will definitely be free, and it will be a companion. It won't be a revenue generator. It will be used to enhance the experience but not offer any advantages." Yeah, so...
I can see that working pretty well. I mean, if people are familiar with the current game, there's a lot of basically iPad stuff in it. Like, you pop out these little touch computers and do practically every little, like, gamey thing there is in it. And there's little computers, like, built into the back of your arm and whatnot. So, I can see that working pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be curious to see what I'm sure as it gets closer to November, we'll start to hear more stuff, especially when they actually start talking about multiplayer.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That sounds interesting. It's not strictly the Glass product from Xbox.
Smart Glass.
No, interesting.
Yeah, that the sort of second screen experience seems to be the latest.
The new hotness.
Yeah. For integrating with games now.
Mm-hmm. Which is a pretty good idea since the proliferation of the smartphone and or tablet is pretty good these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get bottom of the line, which I have, pretty cheap these days. So. Mm-hmm.
And or like you can pick up, like there's a number of inexpensive and pretty quality tablets that are out there. Like the Nexus 7 and stuff, and a few others like that.
So. Yeah, like what I ended up doing, and I actually highly recommend, is you can always go with the phones that have the trade-offs that you're comfortable with. Like, I ended up getting one with no big, like, massive processor or anything like that, but still a really nice screen on it, and a good connection on it also, and... It has been a really satisfying experience even without the hardcore processor.
Cool.
And much easier on the pocketbook.
There's always that, too. That's a nice side benefit. Right on. Is that going to wrap up our news today, I believe?
Sounds like it.
Unless anyone else has anything else.
Not at the moment.
Want to talk about. All right. Well, let's get to that music break. Before we do, I'll tell you about... Half Moon Bay Pumpkin Festival. That's right. What? Celebrate the Great Gourd at the world-famous Half Moon Bay Art and Pumpkin Festival, October 13th and 14th. I know it's a ways away, but hey, plan now, people. From 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Historic Main Street. For more information, call 650-726-9652. That's 650-726-9652. And, you know, if you're just thinking, well... You know, Half Moon Bay Pumpkin Festival. I mean, that sounds pretty cool and all, but you know, how exciting can?
But what does it mean to me?
Yeah, what does it mean? Well, let me tell you, the little film we mentioned earlier, Birdemic. Let's just say Half Moon Bay Pumpkin Festival.
In it,
got a pretty big little star role in there.
Shout
so,
out.
So yeah, you know, the Half Moon Bay is not just the pumpkin festival. It's also
part of a film
called Birdemic. Take that as you will.
Go to the pumpkin festival and start your own Birdemic.
Yeah, make your own.
Quality of the film does not reflect the quality of the town of Half Moon Bay.
Right. We do not recommend bringing sidearms and M16s. That
No.
We don't know why you have.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Randomly show up in the movie.
Much what? Like the film.
No. Yeah. No. All right. Let's take that music break and then come back with Caleb's Corner.
Yes, and I'll be talking about fonts because it's my designy side, and I would like to put a shout out to Mithu for liking our Facebook page. Thank you, sir.
Nice. Welcome aboard.
Yes.
Hopefully,
glad you liked
enjoy
it.
The show. Mm-hmm. And not like okay, unlike
no, yeah. No. Hopefully, we know you do. Thank you, sir.
Nice.
Or
yes.
Or sirette.
Sir. All right.
All righty. Let's get to that music break. I'm gonna play the band Talkie Tina. The track, Tarred and Feathered. Birdemic.
Makes sense, yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully it's good. I have no idea.
We'll
it's a local band.
Hey,
they're
cool.
A San Jose garage rock band. So, hey, it's local.
There's that.
We're supposed to play local stuff. So
yeah.
Here you go. Here's some local stuff. All right, you're listening to Robots Attack.
Feed on it.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Welcome back to Robots Attack. This is Caleb's Corner, and our idea to pontificate, talk about something that I find interesting and does not necessarily reflect the views or thoughts,
previews
or yes of KSU or Robots Attack. It's just me. So I have a fascination with design, especially with fonts. It's kind of my little funny thing.
Your own little world.
Fonts.
Yeah, but what makes this latest font kind of interesting is it's a hand drawn font, and I find those really interesting because you know when most people think of a font, they think of something like Helvetica or Arial,
Times New Roman,
right. Times New Arial,
Courier New.
Papyrus, right. Yeah, the papyrus is actually looks like something, but like
Arial Sands.
Arial's already Sands. What are you talking about?
Sands. I swear it's one of them.
Comic something.
Comic Sands.
Comic Sands.
There you go.
But
Sands New Roman
punch. So this guy has written a book called the Sketch Note Handbook, which is about making notes that are more illustrative, or it's an image as well as a note, so it's not just a bunch of text. You actually, because they found that when you mix the analytic and the image creation parts of your brain, you create much stronger bonds of thought and memory.
Yeah,
and so and also it's like the idea of you can sometimes you're trying to get a complex concept down in words, and that can take a lot of words, but you can draw a picture of it relatively simply, and it may not be a very good picture. It may not look like it's going to go up into a museum or something, but it'll be enough to remind you, oh, that thing is this.
Okay.
It's this concept. Didn't have time to write all the words, but I had this image that reminds me of everything I need, the core things I need to know about this. But the when you design something that's handwritten, it has a certain look and feel to it, and it's just kind of interesting when people make fonts out of handwriting, because it's almost the
like Comic Sans, right?
It's almost like the inverse of the process of creating a font, because most fonts are designed to be highly, you know, they're all about readability or a look and feel or an aesthetic of some sort, and hand drawn fits into that, but it's kind of interesting going from a very analog thing with, you know, drawing it out by hand,
mm-hmm.
to a very digital thing where you put it into you scan it into a computer and carefully, you know, mold it into a really workable font or typeface. If you
it's prefer. Not at all like writing it on papyrus.
He's recently released the font that he used to help to in the writing of the book, so that way you can, you know, if you want to like make more interesting looking notes that have a handwritten feel and look to them. The font's actually really clean, considering it's all hand drawn, but he looks like he used a nice toothy paper, so that when you drag the pen over it, it's not a perfect like even edge all around. It looks has a little bit of like heart, for lack of a better word. It's like it you know, you don't only think of being text as
I have heart because I'm a little bit toothy, so
mm-hmm. you don't
Yeah, you don't think of like words as having a texture other than like, you know, the language of them, but the look of it has a little something to it, which is kind of nice. So it's just a little quick Caleb's corner about like fonts are cool, designing things is awesome, and making things more unique never really hurts a product, I think.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt to think a little bit about the things that you just take for granted in your everyday life, that there's a fair amount of design that goes into them,
mm-hmm.
like Arial.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. That's a little look into that. If the idea of fonts fascinates you, you can always check out the film Helvetica. It is about a single font family, but it kind of goes into the idea. When you watch it, you actually get an little more idea of what typography is beyond Helvetica, but as the art form of typography. So it's kind of cool that way.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And it openly bashes Arial.
Well, Arial's got a fair amount of haters. Just saying.
Not right. Me. I love it. I'm there for you, Arial.
It's all right.
Nice. All right, there well. That wraps up Caleb's Corner.
Mm-hmm.
I say we jump right into game discussion.
Sounds Jason. Great. Jason.
There was a lot of drama there.
It's powerful. Game discussion.
Okay, the Vengeance, I believe, pack for Call of Duty just dropped this last week. And it has an interesting kind of twist on how they've been constructing the maps lately. It seems like lately they've been trying to make maps where it creates tension by having to make the jump between larger areas, like from one area of cover to another area of cover. This one, it seems like they went full on, like, okay, there's cover every place. We're going to make a full-on, you can use cover to your best ability no matter where you are. And that's way more my alley. I absolutely love that. Mm-hmm. They did it in four different maps. One's a bridge that's been, it looks like it's been first made into some sort of emergency setting and then afterwards been basically completely trashed by warfare and explosions going off and whatnot. So there's overturned cars and whatnot. The neat thing about it is that it's a multi-level type of map, and so you can do a fair amount of flanking and jumping around just by dropping down the level and surprising people. But again, tons of cars and stuff all over the place, so you have tons of room to camp if you want to use a dirty term, or jump between hardened areas pretty easily.
That's cool because it opens up different strategic types of gameplay, it sounds like.
Right. It seems like a lot of the things have been like you have a completely hard wall where you can kind of glimpse around it or whatnot, or you have cover where it's like halfway unusable because you have to either be ducking behind it and not be able to shoot anything, or standing behind it and then you're half out of cover anyway, so you just get completely reamed. I like this, that they made the cover much more usable. There's a lot more the cars are perfect, and the another map that I absolutely love, I can't remember the name of it, but basically it's an island map. It's
Cove,
yes. It's sort of an extension of the yacht map that they have, that you can actually see it in the background along with its landing craft, and it's absolutely beautiful scenery. I believe West Indian Ocean, and just perfect coral reefs out if you look off the edges of it and everything. It's sort of neat seeing little fish swimming around in the water. Like, I believe you can tell it's like orange roughy and stuff like that.
Nice.
It's pretty neat. But back to the cover thing, is that it's a really rocky, craggy island with a whole bunch of inlets all over the place. So it gets crazy, and a lot more of the flanking ends up happening there just because there's so many ways around to be mm-hmm. able to surprise people. But all of the rocky areas, they're kind of that same golden size or have the right angles, so you can use them for much better cover than you could in the previous maps.
Okay.
The best thing I have to compare it to is if anybody remembers the old map in the previous Black Ops, the jungle map.
Yeah.
That one has a lot the same feel as a lot of these
okay.
maps, just because it puts a lot more emphasis on being able to actually use cover and stay there instead of having to like jump out and fully reveal yourself or take a lot of big risks.
Mm.
So you'd think it would create a whole bunch of problems with snipers being able to own everything.
Right, right.
But because it is, all of these maps are such intricate designs where you can flank around so easily, it balances out quite a bit.
Okay.
So it's weird, and it creates this weird thing where it's really nice using a ton of cover, but running and gunning at the same time, like, finding that middle ground is really fun with these maps.
Okay. So it's not just a sniper map, and it's not just a close quarters combat map.
Exactly. Yeah. It's definitely a watch your back type of thing and keep moving, but...
So it makes you more... It sounds, from what little I know about military strategy, it sounds like it's more like what you're supposed to do, which is do your thing and move on to another location so that you're not caught with someone behind you.
Pretty much. And there's also, they try and lay it out in all of their maps lately, a kind of golden location that if you can hold it, you'll do really well. Now, you have to have mm-hmm. a perfect team, mm-hmm. in my view, in order to do that. But the island has sort of high points that look down into the middle of the island that uh-huh. you need people to be able to watch your back, obviously, to not get flanked and have you completely lose your entire team because you were looking the wrong direction. But if you can hold that area, you basically see three quarters of the island. So
that's not
too
shabby.
There's a lot of trade-offs, and a lot of good teamwork is definitely helpful in that sort of situation.
Cool.
Alrighty, that's been the game discussion portion of the show. Jason was talking about the latest DLC for Call of Duty Black Ops 2, Vengeance. Let us know if you played it, what you think about the latest maps.
And if you like different maps than me, let me know.
Yeah. And if you touched the new zombie map, let us know about that as well. Alrighty, we're going to take another music break and then come back with the core. This week, the core is a bunch of lists of things. Over the break, I'm going to ask the gentleman over here which sounds good. We'll pick from there and hopefully entertains you all as well.
Yes.
Alright, I'm going to play a track from Alkaline Trio called I'm Only Here to Disappoint from the album My Shame Is True. Alright, you're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. And just in case you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSCU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. All right, let's get to that music. We are Robots Attack.
Someone else to feel this pain. Are you hurting too? I'm desperate, so desperate. But I won't get my hopes up, I'll just get on my ropes. Start after all, I'm on the edge to disappoint. I am truly only here to disappoint. Like all good dreams you wind up dead. All those promises I never kept. Just can't say, remove the you from you and me. I stand and bring you to your knees again and again and again.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
You are now entering the core.
Welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geeks Intro Talk Show on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. You are now on the core. As I mentioned earlier, we're found some lists of stuff, and we're going to discuss said lists. The first one that sounded good to the gents was 10 Overrated Superpowers. I grabbed this from listverse.com. All right, gentlemen, let's see if we agree with these. To start us out, it was, comic books and superheroes have captivated minds for decades. Surely everyone has dreamed of gaining superhuman abilities, such as flight or extreme strength. What could be better than instantly traveling anywhere in the globe or running at Mach 6? While these powers work well for our fictional heroes, they wouldn't turn out so well here on Earth. A majority of common superpowers are simply overrated, if not downright deadly. All right. Number 10 they have on here is flight.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
They have, ask anyone what their superpower of choice is, and many will respond flight. Since the dawn of time, humans have looked to the skies in hopes of one day soaring among the birds. Sure, planes are a great way to travel, but what could beat lifting off using nothing but your own natural abilities? In truth, flying isn't as glamorous as it seems. To avoid birds, bugs, and other low-altitude pests, buildings, antennas, etc., you would need to fly a few thousand feet in the air, and for every 1,000 feet you go up, the temperature drops 1.65 degrees Celsius. At 30,000 feet, you're looking at an outside temperature of -23.8 degrees Celsius, or -31 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
You can bundle up to beat the cold, but make sure you have enough room for your oxygen tank at 30,000 feet. The air is so thin that you'd pass out in seconds from oxygen deprivation. So,
I already figured out how to solve that. Just fly really fast, and then that way you've gathered enough oxygen just by the sheer amount of oxygen that you're forcing through your lungs, like not unlike a whale cycling water through its baleen to gather sustenance from the oceans. But then the dual thing of that is that you'd be flying so fast that you're creating friction in the air and warming yourself up.
Here's the thing. The friction of the molecules in the atmosphere hitting your body will create incredibly high temperatures, incinerating you despite the frigid temperatures.
What? There has to be a balance. You just you just find that balance and you're golden.
No, you just get an airplane. I mean, have a tail. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. No.
Yeah, it says remember not... Well, okay, so maybe it says remember not to break the speed of sound. So maybe don't go as fast as the speed of sound?
Right.
Yeah,
because that's what would cause the friction, according to the article. So if you don't go as fast as the speed of sound,
but see, it's really tempting because who doesn't want to break the speed of sound and go sonic boom?
It's true. It's true.
And spike your hair.
Yeah.
I think it would automatically do that.
Yes, you'd for that split second you'd become Guile. boom, Sonic, boom.
And
the heck just happened.
And you'd grow a tail.
All right, so shall I move on to number nine?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, number nine, super strength.
Okay.
Those that don't choose flight are likely to choose super strength.
Okay.
Anyone that could lift a car over their head with one hand would be sure to gain the admiration of a large number of fans. Rogue deeds like stopping runaway
AKA
trains.
The ladies.
Mm-hmm. Or catching falling planes would be a breeze. If the hero's deal isn't your thing, you could always become a professional athlete, smacking home runs or knocking out any opponent in the boxing ring.
Right.
You
know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyone with a basic knowledge of physics can tell you that catching a falling plane will not result in a gentle landing. If you put your hands out to catch a massive jetliner that is plunging at hundreds of miles an hour, you will simply punch through the hull, likely killing anyone on the other side. Okay, so killing people that you were trying to save isn't your thing. Sports are an option, right? Some may be, as long as they don't involve contact. When anything you lift feels as light as a feather, you're going to have a hard time controlling your strength. That boxing career you will be over the moment you throw a punch and knock someone's head off. Running back, starting pitcher, power forward, a vast number of sports and positions would all be unavailable to you.
So, finish you.
I think sports will just evolve.
Hey,
people will just be that much more careful.
If Superman can learn to control his strength, which he does.
Exactly.
You know, you can do it.
Actually, I have to admit, like, you mentioning the catching a falling airplane thing, that's like from the last Superman movie before the current one.
Superman Returns.
Yeah. Right. And that one always bugged me because I work on airplane parts and he grabs it by the nose, which I can tell you is one of the most fragile parts of the airplane. I mean, I know it sounds bad, but it's actually made more delicately so that radar can get through it, which you sort of want it to be able to do.
Yes.
So it's plenty tough to be able to handle wind or whatnot, but Superman grabbing it, yeah, it probably would have resulted in him careening straight through the airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah, airplanes themselves are designed to be light, so, you know, light.
There's a lot of aluminum there.
Yeah, strong, but very light, so, yeah.
And again, you know, we mentioned the first one was flight and number nine, super strength, and this is
and
a list.
And we promise that these aren't all going to be Superman ones.
Who knows?
A lot of them are Superman. He's got a lot of these in his bag.
But as I was saying, the list is from listverse.com, so these aren't necessarily our thoughts.
These do not reflect necessarily the opinions of Robots Attack.
Yeah, we just found the list. We're now pontificating about
it. But the author definitely makes some interesting points, you know, if you actually stop and think about it. So
right.
Yes.
Before I get to number eight, I believe Caleb has our next PSA.
I do indeed. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes?
Boy, howdy.
But do you have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
Yeah,
that's right. So moving on to number eight.
Numero ocho.
Of the overrated superpowers, we have laser vision. This has a picture of Cyclops.
Okay.
So, not necessarily Superman,
sure,
but...
Sure, yeah. Uh-huh.
See?
Laser eyes.
This guy just really doesn't like Superman.
Cyclops.
Is the way it sounds like.
The one before it was... not Hitch.
Colossus?
No, that Will Smith other one.
Oh.
The one where he didn't want to be... Oh. Hancock.
Hancock, yeah.
Yeah. So... The first, okay, I'll give you flight. That was
Superman.
Superman.
Yeah, but that's almost a given when you talk about flight.
Anyway, that wonderful noise signaled our number eight, laser vision. Is there anything cooler than firing super precise lasers from your eyes? Laser vision sounds awesome, but think about it in practical terms. How often in your life have you said, man, this sure would be easy if my eyes were capable of melting steel. Odds are you've never said that. Laser vision would be impressive, no doubt, but simply unusable in everyday life. Your best bet would be to find the nearest research facility in dire need of lasers. They're incredibly expensive and require a lot of energy to operate. Offer them your unique skills for a hefty sum of money and live the rest of your days as a human laser.
Mm. That sounds pretty good to me. I mean, they sort of address that in the newest Avatar series.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's true.
Not necessarily with lasers, but sort of.
Yeah. All right. Here, now, this one again has Superman in the picture. In fact, from the Superman Returns, as you mentioned, it's invincibility. Imagine being able to witness the entire rise of human civilization firsthand. From this day forward, nothing can harm or kill you. You'll live forever and see how far our species progresses. You can live your life as you choose, knowing you will never die. Think about that for a second.
So
you'll
Mendel
never
Savage?
Die. You'll see the rise of humanity, but you'll also see the terrifying and undoubtedly violent fall of it. With each generation, those you love will wither and die while you will stay healthy and free of disease. Everyone you know will die until it's just you, alone, on a desolate planet. And even that won't be the end. One day the Earth will be engulfed by the sun, which will eventually fizzle out of its own accord. And if humanity hasn't found a way to leave the planet by then, you'll just be floating aimlessly in space, wishing you had taken the flight superpower like everyone else. So those vampires out there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what do you so we sort of addressed the laser vision. We kind of agreed, like, hey, you could the thing about, hey, I can go to a science thing. You need some lasers. All right, I need some lasers.
Yeah, so far I'm seeing like the weakness of this need is like the absolute version of any one of these.
Yeah.
If it's like a watered down version, like it seems like most of the superheroes have. I mean, like Wolverine isn't actually invincible, but he has something akin to it.
Yeah.
So it makes things more interesting and not like.
And neither is Superman's not invincible.
Right.
So.
As far as we know, I think Superman will die. I mean, he got older in the Kingdom Come comics.
Yeah.
And so. they've done several Elseworld stories or alternate Earth stories where Superman is old.
Yeah. So come on now.
but if we did look at it like, okay, here is the not a watered down, this is bam.
It's true.
You know, black or white.
Immortal.
No gray, yeah.
Yeah, and actually.
Invincibility.
That's one of the things, it brings up one of my favorite little stories from a very geeky thing, Warhammer 40K. I remember when you'd look through the manuals, they'd have these weird little stories that was just like random background things or some little military engagement someplace. One of my favorites always was, like, there's these Chaos Marines, which are like the evil space marines who have fallen to dark gods and whatnot.
Yes.
So the fringe benefit is that they have everlasting life, which, I mean, that should be awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
you would think.
Right. The story is literally about this commander trying to go through his day, like, trying to maintain insanity. I thought that was really cool. It's him, like, literally trying to remember the important things so that he can get through, because he still has a limited brain and whatnot. So at some point, the things start, like, sifting straight through.
It's true.
So, yeah, I always thought that was a really fun story, and I wish that there would be some sort of story kind of like that in some modern media.
Yeah,
that would be cool. Interesting.
Maybe it's just me.
No, I think that would be an interesting take on the immortality thing, because it's usually romanticized with the vampires and other immortal type beings.
So. I agree. Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, we are talking about the 10 overrated superpowers in our core on Robots Attack. We are now on number 6, weather control. Every child has fascinated.
This is also Superman.
I guess he can blow and create this. I grabbed this from listverse.com. Every child has fantasized about an unexpected snow day, so they won't have school.
Okay.
With the ability to control weather, every day could be a snow day, or a sunny day for that matter. The decision is up to you.
Mm-hmm.
The part we don't see in the comic books is the after effects of those unusual weather changes. Constant storms may be fun for a child, but they are dangerous to others. Frequent sunny days may ruin a local farm, resulting in less food and putting the family out of business.
Yeah.
Your selfish desire for a particular type of weather would have serious repercussions.
Exactly.
So take that storm.
I mean, weather is like a big thing. That's like sort of where the entire butterfly effect kind of comes from. I mean, there's no telling if you create like a high pressure system someplace so you can have your perfect day. I mean, that's like draining all of the other important things out of the surrounding regions. So not to mention probably creating hurricanes someplace and whatnot.
That's true. So I think
that one's really good. That I like one, that one's
I think
really
that
good.
One, we're definitely all in agreement of like, okay, yeah, maybe that one, maybe there is something to that one.
Yeah, suddenly I hate the character Storm. I mean, she's
hate
what's
her
with
or
her?
Just hate her powers.
Well, I mean, yeah, I probably just a power. Because then it becomes like, oh, is it a choice or not?
Well, speaking of choice, number 5 in the 10 overrated superpowers, mind reading. Many people believe their life would be far easier with the ability to read minds. Every small issue could be handled immediately. Business deals could be struck, and new friends could be obtained with relative ease. Unfortunately, not everything you hear will be good. The person you thought was your best friend may actually think you're a complete idiot. Your boss may be mentally counting the minutes until he fires you. With every thought you intercept, you risk hearing bad thoughts, possibly directed towards you. In addition, if you couldn't filter individual thoughts out, the constant influx of minds would be utterly overwhelming, inducing the worst headaches known to man.
Covered in Buffy as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was actually one of the better episodes.
There's a lot of short stories out there exactly like that, and they've always been pretty interesting to me, how it would completely change somebody's life, how much it changes their decision-making and whatnot if they just knew what the other person was thinking. And, yeah, it almost all of them make you realize that, yeah, the filter that people have on their mouths is a really good filter.
As bad as it might seem, it's still better than the alternative.
Right.
Yeah. And then it makes you think of the people who don't have any tact, and you're like, huh. I don't really have to read that person's mind.
Right. Yeah. Which is oddly comforting every once in a while, I have to admit.
Our friend Jen loves it.
It can be refreshing, but I don't know if it's always desired.
Oh, okay, and others.
All right, before I get to number 4, I'll recap quickly on our 10 overrated superpowers from Listverse. We had number 10 with flight. We had number 9 with super strength. Mm-hmm. We had number 8, laser vision. Number 7, invincibility. Number 6, weather control. And number 5, mind reading. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not mind freak. Confuse you, just mind
reading.
Right,
yeah. Yep.
All right, number 4, we have superhuman speed. This has a picture of Flash on it, not Superman.
He is the fastest man alive.
Yeah.
Right.
This power has many...
Although some of them have, in some of the comics have argued that Superman just let him win, so...
Yeah, but Flash has mystical energy from the Speed Force. He can outrun
Flash
Superman.
Is faster.
Yep.
This power has many of the same disadvantages as flight. When you break the sound barrier, the friction of your body hitting the air molecules will produce incredible heat.
But special suit.
And burn you alive. Let me finish. Fortunately for speed enthusiasts, as long as you don't go over Mach 1, this won't happen.
Right.
Don't get too excited, though. Running incredibly fast would be useful if America were an open field at high speeds. You may have superhuman reflexes, but now your mind's reaction speed is going to hold you back. You won't be capable of responding to a sudden obstacle in your path. Straightaways will work just fine, but don't run anywhere with obstacles or obstructions. Same thing, really. Mm-hmm. A sudden car, tree, or human will leave you a bloody, unrecognizable mess.
It's true.
Yeah.
But my theory is that if people got that, they would acquire the ability to read the Force.
Read the Force?
Yeah.
Like from the Star Wars Force, so you could predict what was going to happen before.
Exactly.
It happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
It comes with it, automatic.
Okay. That's not mentioned in here, but all right. Okay.
Well, that person doesn't know. I mean, I know these things.
So the Flash controls the Force?
Not controls it. Or he can just read it. And see, okay. That's what allows him to handle those high speeds. Not unlike Anakin Skywalker when he's pod racing.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. We all know this.
Okay. All right.
Come
all
on. Right. Makes it's sense. Been laid out.
Makes sense. It's true. It's true.
You can't have one without the other. They're hand in hand.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, number three. This one, Jason hates. Time travel. Everyone can agree that time travel has its advantages, but being able to travel back in time and stop a calamity is hard to argue against. But what if preventing that disaster results in something worse down the road? Are you qualified to make that call? In preventing 9/11, you might possibly motivate foreign terrorists to go bigger, resulting in a nuclear explosion in a crowded city. That's still not a problem. Just go back in time and fix it again. But everything you change will have its unpredictable consequences. The butterfly effect maintains that going back in time and changing anything, even the flight path of a single insect, could have a disastrous effect on history. In the end, you'll find yourself constantly going back in time to try to fix your mistakes. And we'll never find perfection.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite episodes of Star Trek Voyager is specifically about this.
About that?
Yeah.
See, I always like...
Which isn't my favorite series by a long shot, but still.
It's a good episode within a bad series.
Right.
I always thought like to the Stephen King Langolier version of it, where like you go back in time, there's nothing there because there's nothing there. Time has already gone past it.
Yeah. Okay.
Getting deep.
Mm-hmm.
Getting really deep with that. This one just has a clock. No Superman flying around the earth.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, another Superman one. But but yeah, it's totally the same thing as the storm thing. I mean, you're going to wreak havoc as soon as you change anything.
Yep. Indeed.
All right, number two of the 10 overrated superpowers, teleportation. Superman doesn't have that. See, so there's Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler!
With teleportation, you have the fast travel of flight without the risk of burning up due to friction, freezing due to cold temperatures, or suffocating due to lack of air. Teleportation is the way to travel, right? Wrong. The instantaneous nature of teleportation is what makes it so dangerous in many sci-fi realms. Teleportation involves two stationary hubs through which characters travel. They always arrive in the same location. Teleportation from human powers would allow you to arrive anywhere in the world regardless of any object or human standing there. What would happen upon your arrival? It's unclear, although certainly possible that you and the unfortunate person standing in your landing zone would become intertwined in some sort of twisted, multi-limbed being. If that isn't a reason to stay away from a superpower, we don't know what is. Your thoughts, gentlemen?
I it's the same as the speed thing. Yeah, you're
the Force.
Just bam. Once you get that power, you get the accompanying power of being able to read your surroundings. There's just no two ways about it.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the way it works.
All right.
Either that or it's not really a teleport, it's more of a dimensional shift, so you can like time it so that you come out when at a point where you won't be intersecting object or person.
Yeah, the smarter ones that I've seen, it treats it like you jump into like a frozen reality where you become like a ghost type thing. You can still control how fast you go and everything like that, but you can get where you know you'll be safe because you'll be standing in that spot because you can see how the frozen world is. And that's been the smartest one that I've seen in different stories and whatnot.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. But again, it's like acquiring a whole other power along with it.
Yeah.
Almost all of these, you need more superpowers, which is, I think, the entire creation process of Superman. Like, they were like, okay, we'll give him this one really awesome thing, but doesn't he need this? We'll give him that awesome thing. But wouldn't that create
this?
Give him that awesome thing.
That's why he's Superman.
Right, exactly. They weren't going to call him Superman. He was just going to be Flyboy at first,
mm-hmm.
and then he became Superman because they needed all the other stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and finally, number one in the 10 overrated superpowers.
Drum roll, please.
That's a helicopter.
It's weird. I guess this is a superpower. X-ray vision. X-ray vision may be a bit more practical than laser vision if you're applying for a job with the TSA. Aside from monitoring passengers for guns and explosives, it's unlikely you'd get much use from the ability. The childhood fantasy of seeing through other people's clothes is far from the truth. X-ray vision would be very much like looking at X-rays in a doctor's office in real time. You'd be able to diagnose broken bones and other ailments, but you'll be giving your patients a healthy dose of radiation. Over time, those you look at frequently...
Well, that's a bit literal.
Over time, those you look at frequently will become showing signs of radiation sickness and likely cancer.
Hey, score. I mean, you can use it against people who need it, you know? Yeah.
Hey-o. So, yeah, that's number one, X-ray vision. I mean, yeah.
Another Superman ability.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I'd put that in super
X-ray powers, vision, but. I didn't think about that one. That's actually perfect to go along with the bamfing thing.
If you, yeah, you could mix those two together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a reply from one of our listeners saying they would take a prehensile tail if that counts as a superpower.
Mm. That's pretty good.
And then teleportation, and as a fallback, and then... As a fallback for that, it builds you to find things that are lost.
Ooh, just like Snap or like an adventure type of thing?
I'm not sure what you mean by adventure.
Adventuring is a superpower.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I think it's more like I put my keys down somewhere. You would never lose your keys. Someone says, I need to find this thing. It's right there. You always can know where to find that one thing.
See, to me, that would be better as like a teleportation thing. Like you could, what was the Harry Potter thing? Like they did the little incantation to like pull the thing that they were, that they attached to the, I can't remember.
I don't remember.
Plus it's Potter. I mean, who cares? But still, it was a neat thing. Like, if you could bamf your keys into your hands whenever you needed to, which bamf, for anybody who doesn't know, is the teleportation thing.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, if you could do that with all of that stuff, I mean, that would be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or... Yeah.
It might be a little bit awkward if you, like, wanted your car and you suddenly summoned it into a living room or something like that.
See, that's where it's sort of the ability to find, not necessarily the ability to have.
Okay.
It's like...
See, that one's smart. I'll give you that. But there's no chance of something going horribly wrong, which automatically disqualifies it as superpower. As we've established by this entire list.
Well, that's because it's a safe and sane sort of superpower, one that you can use on a...
Right. I mean, it's like fireworks. And this conversation has come right back around to the beginning.
Yeah. Very, very good. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to wrap up Robots Attack.
Mm-hmm.
So I posted the link to the 10 overrated superpowers, so you can check it out for yourself on our Facebook page. Let us know if you agree, disagree, if you think of some powers that should be in that top 10 list that weren't, or if any of those shouldn't be in there. Caleb, how can they do all that stuff as well as, you know, check out the shows and participate in all that jazz?
Definitely. So, as you heard, we had two people interact with us this evening. That could be you next time. You can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, two words, and that'll be us. You can also find us on Twitter. Our handle is RobotsAttackMe. And finally, there is our ever-present, ever-trusty robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if all that's just like, wait, too much, just remember, robotsattack.me. That will take you to our website that has links to all the things I mentioned ahead of it in the Interact, and is archived episodes of our show as well there. So,
yeah, we encourage you to become barnacles on our glorious stardom.
Yeah,
something like that.
Because we have plans for the future. Like when we, you know, a little thing we'll throw out when we eventually more than likely get our Xbox Ones.
Mm-hmm.
It will have the ability to stream from Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking it would be fun to, you know, the three of us stream Robots Attack some games, and the audience can watch and participate, ask fun. Us stuff or that sort of thing.
Definitely.
So,
perfect.
You know, think about stuff for the future for the show. If you have any ideas, let us mm-hmm. know.
Games you want us to see play?
The technology exactly. will make it happen.
Yes.
With science!
Science! Science!
It will fulfill our glorious stardom.
Yeah. All right. Again, you've been listening to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. That's going to do it for us. We're here during the summer, every Monday from 6 to 8. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. Go see some movies if you like. If you do, let us know what you saw. Let us know if you liked them or any good.
Yeah. And I apologize. I swear you guys are much better than Barnacles.
And Jason does like the paintball map in Call of Duty.
Yes.
All right. We are Robots Attack. Take it easy, everyone.
Raccoon, Veronica, Nicto.